Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's for Women. Discover female health insurance through It's for Women.
Now to the union man who became the country's fixer over many years of industrial strife. He also negotiated those big social partnership payment agreements, which seemed impossible, but he got them done anyway. And every time there's a row about anything in this country, you'd hear calls for somebody to send in Kieran Mulvey to sort it all out. And he very quietly retired in 2016. But only kind of. He is our visiting critic today, Kieran Mulvey. Good morning and welcome.
Good morning to you, Oliver, and to your listeners.
You're very nicely dressed in a summery outfit, kind of light green, lime green shirt and sandy coloured blazer.
I'm off to the cricket against the West Indies today. So
where's that on?
That's on in Clontarf.
Oh, yeah.
We beat them on Wednesday. David Balbirnie's did a century, so excellent. We've had our good days and our bad days, and I've been at good and bad internationally. So
a century is a big thrill.
Oh, wow. Celebration. We all go out and restock the beer can.
It's a big social event.
Cricket is an all-day event. It is a very social event. Mm-hmm. People consider it a very slow game, but if you're at it, it's enjoyable. Some people describe it as watching paint dry on a wall.
But, if they don't understand what's going on. But once you
understand the basics, it's okay.
What time will it start and what time will it...
Well, it's due to start around 10:45 and rain. I hear there's rain coming in from the west around 4 o'clock.
That's right.
So it'll... We'll have decided, I think, by then.
They'll abandon. Whether
we don't abandon. We might decide we have done another good day with the West Indies.
So it could be five hours of cricket.
Oh, yes. That's wonderful. On a Friday afternoon in Clontarf, on a sunny day, what more would you want?
We're
all jealous now. And a beer tent nearby.
This is one of your hobbies, isn't it, following sport?
I was chairman of Sport Ireland for about 12 years, so I enjoy all sports. I really enjoy going to sporting events.
You'll be watching the Rossies this weekend.
Oh, my God. I heard you talk about Monaghan being in transition. We've been in transition since the mid-40s. So many opportunities, missed opportunities. Oh, God, my heart has been broken in Croke Park on so many occasions and down in the Hyde Park in Roscommon. So.
Especially the drawn match with Mayo that time, remember? Stop. And they came to the replay and just didn't turn up.
We've been unfortunate in the sense that we have strong Connacht teams, obviously. Galway and Mayo being very, very strong. But over the years, we've had bad draws. We drew Kerry on many occasions at their pinnacle. Nearly beat them once or twice, but Croke Park. But opportunities passed and great fans, great support,
amazing
great
fans.
Atmosphere. They're like the Irish fans going to international matches. The Rossies are the same. They travel.
And hope undiminished.
Oh, we live in hope.
All the time.
Oh,
well, you're in a very good
hope.
Group, aren't you? Because it's Cork.
Yeah, we're
Kerry.
Back in the first division again, which has been a particular achievement. With Monaghan, we've had good days and bad days against Monaghan.
Everyone will be watching the group because Cork, Kerry, Roscommon and Meath, and you'd be expecting it'll be between Roscommon and Meath, whoever gets knocked out. So that's the match this week.
Yeah, look, it's an important part of Irish life. It's an important part of all our lives. And sport unites our nation in an extraordinary way.
What else do you follow in your hobbies before we come to
Obviously sport. I read a lot.
Yeah, fiction or non-fiction?
Both, but historical, largely historical fiction, biography. Politics, obviously, occasional sports books when they come out. Mm-hmm. I love people who write their biographies at 30.
Yeah.
You know, you say, yes, yes, you've only got out of your teens and you already have a biography. However,
well, it does work.
Well, it sells. So what can you say against it? No, I like music. I go to the concert hall quite often and I like opera.
You're a fan of opera?
Yeah, I am, yeah.
You don't expect someone coming out of a Rossies match to be going, oh, they'll go to opera.
Oh, God.
We're very cynical in our views.
Oh, yeah, but I think it's part of the education I got over the years that there were other opportunities and other forms of music apart from diddle diddle.
Which I presume you like as well if you love music.
I'll do. I love country and Western music.
What do you get out of opera?
I just think the whole drama, understanding of it, the plot are perennial. You know, they're the usual plots. Frustrated lovers, wilted lovers, power, opportunity. But then the venues are great. Yeah, like I go to Verona now quite often, almost every year. Yeah, I'm going again this year. Yeah, for Nabucco.
They perform in the old Colosseum.
Yeah,
and open air.
And you're guaranteed at 9 o'clock at night, wonderful weather and everything else. And then
people beautifully dressed as well.
Well, they come in and all their elegance. The Italians love to dress, but then there's a big international audience. Yeah. They want to become part of the theatre.
Your hobbies are very important, are they?
Well, they have. You have to get out and about. Well. Yeah. Well, particularly, I don't think people prepare for retirement. I think people suddenly find, particularly a compulsory retirement, that was the case in the past, 65, suddenly find they're retired. And I felt they never planned for it in terms. I don't understand some people who don't have hobbies. Or I don't understand people who have no interest in sport. I just find it like it's so dominating in our lives. Yeah. And in so, like, we're lucky in Ireland. We have the best opportunities for sport. And then, of course, we get our colleagues in the BBC, your colleagues, give us access to a considerable volume of their terrestrial free sports as well.
Yeah, that's right.
So, and then, look, I just feel maybe people at times are so busy working, providing for their children to ensure they get a good education, that sometimes they jettison their own private life in terms of the hobbies. Spouses and partners maybe feel they have to work. And then we've got to the dual working situation over generation now. And I just feel people put aside their own entertainment, their own needs, and then find it's too late to take up a sport.
It's never too late.
Never too late.
They feel always the block, don't they?
There's always an opportunity.
We asked you to go to something, obviously, you'd never consider of your own free will, which is Wellfest. Can you give us an idea? This is an outdoor health and fitness and wellness festival. Lovely venue. Can you give us
I haven't been in Kilmainham Hospital for a long time. COVID, I think, stopped a lot of the corporate entertainment. They had functions there. And then, once or twice, and it's because it's our Modern National Gallery. So
Museum of Modern Art. Art,
yeah. And it's a hidden jewel.
It's gorgeous.
I mean, the extraordinary thing about Kilmainham is it's a hidden jewel in Dublin. And then this contrast between the great British legacy that they left us with that. Yeah. And then down the avenue, you have the opposite Kilmainham jail,
which is
the other end of the spectrum. But I walked in. First of all, I was coming up the gates and I felt I was the only person not with a prayer mat. They all had these yoga mats under them. And I'm wondering, why didn't Oliver supply? Was I supposed to pick up a mat somewhere?
Did we forget to?
So I went in anyway. And the most extraordinary, spectacular event, the extraordinary number of young people, or as I call young people, anybody up to 40 is young to me. But largely women, by the way. I'd have to say 80% were women.
80% as much as that.
But all with yoga mats. And then into all kinds of presentations going on from stages all around the venue, different stages. You could be doing yoga, Pilates, aerobics at any one time. I must say the gyrations were beyond me. I wasn't. It reminded me of my worst days as in the discos in Leeson Street, trying to do my John Travolta number. But extraordinary
flexible
fitness. The interest of people in fitness, like when you see it in that great manifestation all around the grounds and all elements of age groups. Like, I think I brought the average age group up by about 30 or 40 years, but whatever. Then the nutrition. I've been diagnosed recently with rheumatoid arthritis. So,
really?
And it's had a side effect a little bit on my lungs. But I'm into nutrition now and healthy living. And I always thought I was, but all the tents. I went around all the tents looking at new nutritional products, and particularly around magnesium and other and CBD oils and all of this. So apart from picking up a load of freebies, which I'm notorious for, I bought a number of products.
The house is full.
And what I was amazed about was the number of Irish companies that are producing nutritional products and marketing them. And of course, if I may just say, I'm chairman of Unpost and we're putting a big effort now into Irish SMEs and the export market.
Right.
So I'm hoping we can do something for these new startups.
You're always working.
Well, look, I love my country. I love the people in my country. And I want to do the best for my country wherever it
manifests. That's what you're saying. Isn't that amazing that
yeah.
you spotted this opportunity?
It's extraordinary. And they're all, you know, entrepreneurs. All young entrepreneurs. There was a time when this nation didn't have any entrepreneurs. Then we had too many of the wrong kind. And now we back to. But all of them young, vibrant, energetic, very helpful, very courteous, very nice, spend a large amount of time. And then there was quite a lot of lectures on nutrition. I popped into one or two of them. And then there was one on orgasm. I didn't go to that one, but...
Did you skip that one?
Well, I was tempted, but I said...
Imagine the crack of
life
the cricket.
Life goes on.
The crack of the cricket.
Well, yes, I just noticed it on the programme, so I said, oh, interesting.
We'll never know what was going on in that tent.
I'll go back next year if you invite me. I'll get the courage.
Think of the free samples. Anyway.
Oh, yes. No, we won't go there, will we?
Well, Festa in general, you could see it was...
Oh, it was really extraordinary.
Predominantly young people, which is...
Very young.
Because older people need to go to
I think people of my generation really need to go because nutrition is so important. Exercise is so important. And to be living an outdoor life... We get into sedentary existence. The weather doesn't help us sometimes around the winter period. But there are alternatives. So many indoor facilities in this country.
No excuses.
And clubs.
To get out and do something.
Get out. Get walking. Get moving. Get swimming.
Beautiful walks, by the way, around Kilmainham. That's what most people do.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Dublin 8.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I always say Irish people discovered Ireland during COVID. Mm-hmm. All the parks, yeah. All the trails, all the mountain trails, all the heritage centres. You know, we have a beautiful country.
They discovered the north as well. People in the north tell me, they hadn't seen Southerners until the lockdown rules difference, and they came up to
They didn't know about Bushmills.
Well,
and the Giant's Causeway.
Be in a blind eye for good reasons for a period. Come here, the rheumatoid arthritis, is it painful?
You can't judge inflammation. Yeah. And I did get a lot of physio because I thought I had some dislocation or muscle.
It only came upon you recently,
then,
did it?
Yeah, I went for a diagnosis in the Beacon Hospital and my professor, Professor Cade, says, Kieran, you have rheumatoid arthritis. Oh. I mean, it came as a shock to me because I never really suffered any physical pain, thankfully. And I'm getting my infusions now every month. They're very helpful. I'm on the occasional anti-inflammatories, or I have occasionally go on steroids to manage the pain. But it just flares.
Yeah.
And then it becomes discomfort. You know, it's nothing much you can do about it.
It's affecting your life?
It has slowed me down a little bit in terms of walking. Mm. Not doing any swimming at the moment, even though I got a personal trainer recently.
Did you?
Yeah. Pam, and she's getting me back in the pool, and I'm resisting getting back in the pool. I said, it's too cold. But I tried to do that, and she's helpful to me.
Oh, that's good. Well, I hope you can find some way around it, because there is.
I think it's
full cure.
It's managing it and being aware of it and what to eat, not to eat, what to do. Look, it's a malady, but it's not life threatening. I don't have to be sitting in a particular chair or be wheeled around. You manage this. You take a positivity towards it. It's there. And thankfully, I don't have the C word doesn't appear anywhere in my diagnosis. So, or osteoporosis. So I'm lucky. I look upon it being
lucky. You
always
look positive.
And you know what's wrong. So you know what to deal with.
Do you have to not drink? I don't know if you ever did drink.
I'm not a great drinker.
All right. Okay.
I never was really a great drinker. But I take the odd beer, or obviously I like the odd glass of white wine, not so much red wine.
So you haven't had to scale?
No, I still,
moderate drinker anyway.
Yeah.
You're from Roscommon, you grew up, you're actually called Kieran because of the place you grew up in,
is that
true?
Yeah, I was born in a council estate, St. Kieran's Park. Now, it's with a C, and for some extraordinary reason, well, I know maybe my parents put it Kieran as in the K, the anglicised version, but yeah, I had a lovely life in Roscommon. My father and mother, my mother's well educated. My father wasn't as well educated, but he was a businessman and a mosaic craftsman.
And his mosaic work is, we can see.
Well, it's still evident around shop fronts around the Midlands and the west of Ireland. Some of his work, repair work in the National Museum and other public institutions. He did a lot of churches and schools. There will be floors and altar
right.
areas around that my father had done.
Is he dead a long time?
Oh, yeah. Died when I was in school.
When you were in school?
Yeah, I was just finishing. And my mother died. My father and mother died in the same year.
In the same year?
Yeah, my father in May and my mother in December.
God, that must have been very hard.
Yeah, it was, yeah, and it was a difficult time. But thankfully, my elder sister rallied round. My brother James, who's now passed, and the rest of the family rallied round.
It affects you even now, doesn't it?
It does, because I feel over the years, sometimes it comes back to me that they were never there, probably. And I mean this in a modest way, that they weren't able to see my success maybe in working within the country. And
yeah.
they weren't there for my graduation and things like that over the years, different graduations. So, yeah.
You miss them along the way.
Yeah. I think the more you go on in life, the more you're conscious of what they did. They gave me a great education. Mm-hmm. I was lucky to get a scholarship to go to university and then scholarship to do postgraduate work. But it was their grounding.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's the one thing about Irish people. You know, we might be peasant nation or a small farmer nation or a small enterprise nation, but education is everything.
Yeah.
It means everything. And the last generation of our parents gave to us a love of education.
What a gift.
Oh, I mean, what has it done for this country in 40 years? It's extraordinary.
Transformational. Yeah. Was that because they saw this was an opportunity they didn't have?
And they didn't like. They were taken out to work, 15 and 16, or it was the immigrant boat. Like, there was no opportunities.
And your parents did initially emigrate, didn't they?
Oh, yeah, they went to England before the war and came back after the war. My sister and my brother were born in London. In fact, my sister has an exceptional birthday. She was born on the 3rd of September 1939 in London,
okay,
the day the war was declared.
Yeah.
My father had mixed views on that afterwards. He thought Churchill found out and decided to declare war on Germany instead. I joke, but no. But we have, like a lot of Irish, we have this duality that sometimes we don't recognise and don't accept or don't appreciate, that it actually enriched our lives, irrespective of the experiences. And the experiences for Irish people in England that period wasn't great, but, you know, we did well.
Mm-hmm.
And
it wasn't great for the Irish, and it wasn't great for a lot of the English there either, isn't it? We probably just understand establishments a little bit better.
Yeah, well, we forget, I think, in history, that was what was done to us with the famine and what happened with land and everything else. They did the same to the Scots.
Yes.
And the Land Acts, where we got back the purchase of our lands, they were never passed in the UK. So you have Bill... tenant farmers in the United Kingdom on most of the estates still, and in Scotland, which we had an extraordinary that we got the Land Acts to apply so we could buy back our own land.
That's right, yeah.
That never happened in England.
Agrarian reform didn't happen over there. I mean, you can walk in England and it's lovely, the rolling hills, until you discover, oh, it looks different to Ireland because the same family have owned the land for a thousand years.
And look at the big row in the UK now over the inheritance tax as it applies to land.
Yeah. You did go on to enormous success, and we know about the mediation stuff. But as a young fella, it's remarkable you were General Secretary of Unions in your 20s.
Yeah, I was General Secretary of the Irish Federation of University Teachers when I was 24, and then General Secretary of the ASDI when I was 30.
In a period when there would have been ructions all the time.
Oh, there was all kinds of ructions. but there were, particularly around pay and terms and conditions and security of employment, and particularly in... ensuring that teachers were paid appropriate recompense. I fought, I think, three major pay battles for secondary teachers in the period. We won them all, and the same for university teachers.
Did you win by striking?
Yes, in some occasions. We had the major strike in 86. People may remember, all three teacher unions united under the banner Teachers United. And we fought the government over their failure to pay us an arbitration award. And we won.
Wow.
We had 25,000 teachers in Croke Park that occasion.
Really?
Yes, the only time I got to play in Croke Park.
It's as good as any, isn't it?
Yes.
When you were General Secretary of the ASTI,
yeah, that's right.
That's the secondary teachers.
Yeah.
You would have been battling Charlie Haughey's government on and off.
Yeah, Gareth Fitzgerald, the late Gareth, late both Taoiseach, very strong battles, yeah.
And Charlie spotted your talent.
Well, yeah, he at the end of one of the second thing round of the pay negotiations, the PESP, I think it's program. I can't recall the exact title, but he asked Christy Kirwan, then General Secretary of the Transport Union, President of Congress, to bring me into his office at the end of talks, and they were setting up the Labour Relations Commission. So Charlie said, "I want to appoint you the Chief Executive." So of the new Labour Relations Commission, mm-hmm. I says, well, Taoiseach, I'll have to consider that and talk to my union. And he said, in typical Charlie style, what the do you want to think about with
the
suitable expletive?
Yeah. He didn't want to give you any time.
Christy Kirwan sort of said, hey, this is an honour for the trade union movement, Kieran. Would you ever go over and say to the Taoiseach, thank you very much, I'd be delighted, which I duly did within 5 minutes, you know. So,
Were you friends with him?
I was friends in the sense that he had asked me previously in 87 to run for Fianna Fáil and Dún Laoghaire.
Interesting, yeah.
And I just got to know him because he had come into Congress to speak to us when he was in opposition. And I thought it was interesting that a political leader would come to Congress and say, if there was a future government, he would restore. The social partnership had been broken by the previous government and withdrawn from it, and he was offering this carrot to us with Ray McSherry, Bertie Ahern, of course,
yeah,
and other Mary O'Rourke. So, I kind of respected him in the sense that he had that working class empathy at times.
Right.
Of course, things came out later, that thing. But he did.
He wasn't so humble.
But then, look, I always look upon leaders in terms, well, what did they achieve? And in his sense, like, we wouldn't have widows' pensions without Charlie Haughey. We wouldn't have the Succession Act. Wouldn't have the Arts Council or
Arts Exemption, yeah.
You know, I mean, there were great legislative changes.
Smoking
in
legislation. He just wanted great personal rewards for his great deeds.
Well, obviously, and there were individuals who were prepared to do that.
There were.
For whatever reason.
You didn't run for him, and it was kind of David Andrews would have been the seat.
Well, yeah. I had a lot of respect for David Andrews, and I think I was being put in as a wee bit of a stalking horse there because their relationship wasn't great. And I just felt I wasn't there to contest. Anyway, he would have buried me.
Smart decisions.
Yeah, yes.
The country was the better for it because you end up in the Labour Relations Commission and Bertie was Minister for Labour.
That's so right, indeed. Yeah.
He was known as the great fixer, wasn't he, in those days?
Yeah. He was, yeah. I think I took over the mantle afterwards.
Yeah, you did.
I don't know how he felt about that, but he never criticised me for it anyway.
In everything you've learned in mediation, does everyone have to come down off their perch a little bit in order for the thing to be solved? Is that what that's happened every single time?
Well, in a lot of the disputes, people want to spend time venting their anger and their annoyance and their upset and the imperative of getting change for companies. So you allow them to vent largely. Then you, as one of my colleagues once described, he says, why do you love bombing them, Kieran? I says, well, you need to create a bit of empathy because when you're delivering the bad news in a few nights later, you need to have a relationship.
So you butter them up. And then
Then, look, there comes a stage where you're the person in the room that has to talk truth to both sides and tell it as it is and what. And then you formulate on the basis of that exchange what a settlement would look like and you do the shuttle diplomacy between both sides.
You have such a calm voice as well. I could see that working.
I have the other voice, but it needs.
Is there the other voice?
Don't take me for a shirking violet here.
That's for sure. Does the all-nighter thing, does that work or is that just rubbish?
It does in the sense that you create a momentum because you're up against a strike deadline and might be the health service, aviation, healthcare, whatever, or a company going to close because they can't get the changes. So to a large degree, you know, there's a momentum around those. And then you'd exhaust them too. They want to go home after 5 days for their breakfast.
And that can work. That's a really good tactic.
It can work because you keep them focused, you keep them at it, You don't have them going back talking to other people. Now, the mobile phone has changed that a little bit. But, you know, you have them.
Right.
Don't let them out.
You can always sense the moment when they're ready to
and then,
compromise.
You know,
I'm going to ask you a little bit more about that because there are messages coming in about that. But I want to take a quick break here in Mulvey and we will be back momentarily. We're here with Kieran Mulvey. Kieran, they're calling for you to run for president now. A great man. This is from a Rossi disliking Leitrim fan. And they want you to run for president. We nearly have to ask everybody at this stage to run. Are they thinking?
Oh, well, the list is beginning to look like a maiden hurdle at Leopardstown.
You turned down Charlie High in 1987. Now is the opportunity to make up for it. Run for it.
No. I'm very happy in the house I have.
Happy in the very good. Great to hear, Kieran. Lovely interview. Keep well. An ASTI member who was in Croke Park on that famous day. Somebody else wants to thank you for his help with Unite in the Waterford Crystal pension settlement back in 2016. You had famous battles with Waterford Crystal.
I had good and bad relations. I had to at some stage, and the demise of a great company.
Mm.
And thankfully it's still there. And I know they're bringing in Cutter, new apprentices recently. But you know what? Difficult message, difficult time, difficult circumstances, but I was delighted in 2016 to be able to restore the Waterford pension scheme. They had won a case in Europe and the government had asked me to intervene and we got a 190 million settlement.
194 million, it says here.
Yeah.
Don't chop off that 4 million.
4 million between friends? But no, I was so delighted because I felt they had been so hard done by and such a great industry, such good people. And it was one of the things I really, really felt good about my career.
I would say you have to.
Because it's an ongoing good.
Yeah, exactly. Irish Ferries as well, I think, is a famous one, isn't it?
Difficult dispute because they were reflagging, then they were reducing.
Reflagging?
The ships were going to, I think, a Cyprus registration.
I see. Yeah.
And then they were trimming around the company. And then, obviously, the big battle with the Siemens Union and SIPTU. Because effectively they were moving towards almost a derecognition. But we did get a settlement in the end. Mm-hmm. But difficult discussions, difficult negotiations.
But a result,
nonetheless.
Hi, Uncle Kieran, up the Rossies, always, as Dad would say. That's from Hillary.
Oh, Hillary, my niece. Yeah, thank you, Hillary.
The Rossies are, they're very enthusiastic. Pickleball is by far the best sport for older people. I coach seniors regularly all over Ireland, many of them in their 70s, and of course a very social pastime.
Yeah.
But speaking of social pastime, we have to let you go off to your cricket.
Thank you very much.
But thanks a million for coming in here. You did enjoy Wellfest, by the way, and of course
I did. And
you'd go again.
Well, I expect I'm on the annual invitation list from the programme.
So we see what we can do.
I still have to get back to that lecture I didn't hear.
What do we say in cricket? Can you go Han Ireland or the boys?
We're very genteel.
Have a great weekend, Kieran Mulvey. Thanks a million.
Thank you very much.